You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome to NSE Presents InvestoCast, an exclusive investor podcast powered by Money Control. I'm your host Rishi K, and this podcast is all about getting your money to make better investments for you in the new financial year. Don't we all want the best for our children? Well, just like you and me, all parents envision a bright future for their children. But are we all sure of doing it right? A big part of planning a secure future for your child is by making sure to do some smart financial planning. Your child's future is in safe hands, as long as you're around. But it also becomes your responsibility to make sure your child's future is safe even if something happens to you. You wouldn't want your child to face any kind of problems without you being there, right? To avoid any such scenario, investing in a child's plan becomes a must. This will not only help your child to achieve his or her dreams, but will also help them overcome any hurdles that come their way in your absence. There are a lot of ways you can plan a secure future for your child. This will also include finding the right investment and insurance plan and planning ahead for their future needs. But with so many options, how can we make sure we do this right? And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about in today's podcast. In today's episode of InvestoCast, we're going to be talking about securing your child's future, especially in terms of financial security, with the help of advice from the industry expert of the day. National Stock Exchange, NSE, with the help of InvestoCast, an exclusive investor podcast powered by Money Control, is committed to break the limitations of geographical boundaries and reach investors across the country. In today's episode, we talk about securing your child's future. To help us with this, in this month of women, I have with me the first woman speaker on InvestoCast, Nishreen Mamaji, CEO at Moneyworks Financial Advisors. Nishreen is a certified financial planner for nearly two decades now. Her rich experience has helped NRIs, HNIs, retail investors with goal setting, financial plan creation and execution, and review of plans. She believes in unbiased and unrestricted advice to her clients. Hey, welcome to the show, Nishreen. Great to host you on the show. And as always, we'd like to know more about our guest, which in this case is you and your efforts behind financial education and awareness in this country.
Hi, Rishi. It's really great to be here. So typically, I host four investor awareness programs yearly, and I aptly name them Nimbupani with Nishreen.
Nice.
Typically, what I also do is I send out infographics and relevant information nearly every day to my set of customers. I edit the newsletter for the Foundation of Independent Financial Advisors, wherein we try to give out topical information to our members. Platforms such as LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter are some of the other platforms which I adopt for disseminating current information on interest rates, monetary policy committee decisions, their effects on yields of debt funds, etc. NSE indices movements such as the Nifty Small Cap, the Mid and Small Caps, the Nifty Large and Mid 250, and the Nifty Mid Cap 50 or 100 or 150 are some of the information that I also broadcast regularly. By observing and tracking these trends, investors understand the decisions that we take jointly, and this helps to empower all potential investors at large as well.
Wonderful.
So
wonderful.
These are some of the initiatives that I have adopted.
You know, I've always said this, that the Hollywood guys get their superheroes all wrong. You know, the Wonder Women and the Supergirls. It's people like you, you know, who are handling an illustrious career and juggling life with family and children who are the real superheroes. So how do you plan securing your own child's future? And then therein we can learn from that and plan our own.
Of course. So my children are 25 and 20 now. My son studied engineering abroad. And, I'd like to share what I did for myself before I, really started helping others. So I started SIPs for my children. And what I typically did was 50% in multi-cap funds, 40% in mid and small, and about 10% in focus funds. I began my journey in 2005, and my first investors were my children. Until then, I used to invest in recurring deposits. And the savings habit, fortunately, was inculcated in me by my parents, because my father used to invest directly into equities as well as into insurance policies and PPF for himself as well as for me. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the awareness of different instruments was already into place, such as, what is debt and what is equity. When I got into this industry, obviously, I put my money where my mouth is and I started SIPs as well as lump sums wherever I had extra money. I was also very conscious to bank all the gifts that were given to my children on birthdays and festivals and not to buy expensive gifts for them. Little kids really cannot appreciate the value of an expensive gift, and it's up to parents to make birthdays special. And I think it's more important to be spending on inexpensive items and to actually spend time with your kids, because that's what really what they value the most. But also, just saving is not enough. One must think of investing, that is upping your risk tolerance and not being satisfied with low returns offered by traditional products such as a fixed deposit or an insurance policy, just because they might be guaranteed. Doing your due diligence and gathering information, or at least trying to set up an interview with a mutual fund distributor or a certified financial planner, is the key job of an investor. So I think the onus is on you.
Wonderful that you would open your financial life like an open book, as it were. So thanks really for those thoughts. Now, as you know, NSC Presents InvestorCast, an exclusive investor podcast powered by Money Control, is all about helping people learn about their finances on the go. We'd like to actually take a microscope and now focus and get a little bit of help from you on child plans, especially where to start and how to go about it.
So there are several structured child plans in the market with fixed allocations towards debt and equity. The funds are eligible when the child is 18. You know, the funds can be withdrawn at that time. So when a child mutual fund is taken, the investor will typically not want to redeem or withdraw without thinking properly.
Correct.
It discourages investors from exiting suddenly without sticking to it, at least for a substantial duration. So when most of your assets are in a fund which are invested in equity, then your scheme will be considered as a hybrid equity scheme, and vice versa. If you're invested in a scheme which is more of debt, it would be considered a hybrid debt-oriented fund. Of course, another option is, instead of going for a structured plan which has a fixed allocation, you can visit a certified financial planner and create a basket of mutual funds which you have earmarked specifically for college, post-graduation, and marriage of the kids. This will ensure that you do not stop the SIPs or withdraw from funds for immediate requirements. Child planning should be actually part of your comprehensive financial plan. Therefore, you have to balance your retirement needs as well as preparing for your child's future. So it's really quite a cakewalk, and you can't do one at the expense of the other. Also, it's imperative to think of higher education costs, since I find that many young parents who come to me are spending huge amounts on current education, even from KG to 10th. So then where is the money to save for your future of the child's, graduation, post-graduation, marriage, etc.? So I think you also have to consider that there's this much money and how you are going to allocate it. Expert advice is prudent to create a comprehensive financial plan, which incorporates a child's planning as well. This will ensure that all your goals are met effectively. Of course, for this option, the planner will create a basket of funds wherein the possibility of returns might be higher than if you take a structured childcare plan.
What are the most important things that people should keep in mind while planning for their child's future, Nishreen?
So typically what one needs to do is different goals for different phases of a child should be actually written down.
Sure.
So that, you work towards attaining that. For example, a child's schooling, higher education, healthcare needs, wedding plans. These are some of the requirements that every parent will definitely think of and want to plan towards. Most gift mutual funds also create an elective lock-in facility. This enables the investor to ensure that the investment will be protected till the child is 18. So before investing in a children's gift mutual fund, it is necessary to compare this against other equity funds in order to evaluate the opportunity cost. This helps an investor to choose the most appropriate mutual fund scheme that could generate high returns. So you have to keep in mind the tenure and do your due diligence as well. Structured plans typically charge around 1% as exit load when an investor wants to redeem the fund before completing 1 year. When you plan to exit a child mutual fund, you will have to be prepared to pay an exit load of up to 4%. Moreover, the minimum period for an investor to stay with a child mutual plan can go up to 5 years. These are some plans that charge an exit load even if one quits a mutual fund scheme after 7 years. So there is a structured plan and there is a basket of equity mutual funds which you yourself will create. The latter, you have to stay invested for about 1 year in order not to attract exit load. And with the structured plans, the loads will be higher and the lock-ins are higher. So if you don't want to do it yourself, you know, if you think that you would like to consult a CFP or a mutual fund distributor who will earmark certain funds for your child, keeping in mind the ages of your children, your risk tolerance, your investable surplus, and other family demographics. So when you make a plan like that, it's really, you know, something that you can attain.
Great. That was pretty comprehensive. But the timing of it, we haven't got that answer out of the way. What's the right time to start that planning for your child's future?
You know, if you want the magic of the power of compounding to work in your favor, it's simply what it means. It means earning interest on interest, you know, just in layman terms. So this leads to geometric growth in your investments and savings. You can start with a small sum, as the key is not the initial investment, but the duration of the investment. Therefore, I think, Rishi, the best time to start is when the child is born. Since the structured childcare plans is the only fund wherein donor gifts are allowed, grandparents, uncles, aunts, relatives, friends can all become donors for your child. And the money gifts that are usually given at birth should be encouraged as a childcare plan by the parents themselves. You know, rather than accepting a box gift, if you just inform everybody that you'd like an envelope, bank it and then invest it in the child's name, it would be much better. Over the years, on birthdays, festivals, these gifts continue. So basically, instead of buying toys or books or banking this cash, the parent should accept checks as gifts in the name of the child. And to encourage this practice, the child should make a thank you card to the donor and mention the compounded value of the gift till date.
Nice.
This is really a wake-up call to the relatives and reiterates the power of compounding. Third-party checks can be accepted from others, but parents themselves should also invest for their child from day one by opting for multi-cap or mid and small-cap funds, since the tenure is really quite long. Keep in mind that the volatility or movement of NAV upwards or downwards should not affect the investor, and he must continue to steadfastly invest irrespective of the market movements. So the best time is now. If you haven't done it earlier, don't lose heart and start immediately. If your child is older, then the returns expectation and corpus might have to be modified, but at least you've taken the crucial first step.
True that. What are the different ways and areas of investments? You know, stuff that parents can actually demarcate and opt for their children.
So basically in India, we have a three-tier one. There are three distinct entities involved in the process. The sponsor, who creates the mutual fund, trustees, and the asset management company, which oversees the fund management. The structure of mutual funds has come into existence due to SEBI, Mutual Fund Regulations Act 1996, and under these regulations, a mutual fund is created as a public trust. The first step, of course, is to get your KYC done, of both the parents or either. Next step that I typically use, I use the NSE NMF platform, wherein we create the investor identification number. Now, this is an online platform which facilitates subscription, redemption, systematic investment plans, systematic withdrawal plans, systematic transfer plans, and all other transactions of mutual fund units. This online platform works beautifully since we can invest and transact without paperwork. Besides being environment friendly, we save a lot of transaction time as well. So the proposal of the recommended asset allocation and the names of mutual funds is the next step after creating an IIN. This is typically shared with all prospective clients. And for a childcare plan, I would typically suggest multi-cap funds. So about 50% of the portfolio you can put aside in a multi-cap fund, which doesn't have a cap bias. And the fund manager can decide whether he wants to put it into a large cap, a mid cap, or a small cap. Then you can also have a mid cap exposure. So I suggest about 20% into mid caps, 20% into small caps, focus funds, which invest in a fixed number, you know, in a fewer stocks than a diversified equity fund, could also be an option up to 10%. So after the client has been presented this plan, and of course he or she has approved, the execution would take place, wherein the check is issued and the monthly SIP is authorized. Regular reviews of the plan are undertaken to ensure that we are on track and to make changes if necessary. Long-term plans do involve changes, of course, since the financial situation of the parent might change, there'll be a birth of another child, or whatever. So, you know, in the reviews, we do make the necessary changes. But the idea is that these are the typical four steps that one can adopt.
Nisreen, much has been said and written about picking the right insurance plan for an adult. How important do you think is picking an insurance plan for children? And if so, how does one choose that insurance plan for the child?
So basically, you know, for the child is not an income earner. So what we try to do in insurance is the whole concept of insurance is to replicate the financial earning ability of the parent. Now, since the child is not earning, that question might not arise as to, you know, do you have to insure the child himself or herself? A best option for a parent is to take a term plan, which is a vanilla insurance cover, which is renewed every year without a saving component. The charges on these funds on this plan is much lower than other insurance plans, which are bundled with savings options. Calculation of cover is an annual would be the annual expense of a family multiplied with years left for retirement. For example, if you are 35, your annual expenses is about 10 lakh rupees, then the required cover is 10 lakh multiplied by 25 years of service. That is about 2.5 crore. You can add current values of your home purchase, child education and marriage, pension for spouse to this above figure, which could be in the range of 3.5 crore. So the total cover that you need will be about 6 crore and the cost would be approximately rupees 50,000 per annum. So as far as insurance goes, I think the parent should take a term plan and cover their life. And with the extra funds, you could take a, you know, rather than taking a bundled insurance plan, you could invest into mutual funds for your child and yourself. Now, many insurance companies also float, you know, these childcare plans, which cover the parent, and in case the parent is no more, then the rest of the premiums are waived. The cost of these plans are a little high, plus the returns are slightly lower than what you could get with taking an insurance plan and a mutual fund combination. So please explore both and see what fits your interests, you know, the best way.
Finally, let's have some quick points from you, Nisreen, for our listeners to definitely keep in mind while planning that secure future for their children.
So start early and don't procrastinate. I think I can't repeat that enough. Start with whatever investable surplus that you might have. One always waits for enough or more. But the smart thing to do, Rishi, is to start with whatever you have.
Yep.
Do it yourself is fine, but take a little risk and consult a certified financial planner or a mutual fund distributor or advisor so that you have a sathidar who will hold your hand during difficult market movements and suggest funds which have the possibility of outperforming the structured plans. Empower yourself with education and knowledge. It is your child and money at stake. And of course, be informed. Track the NSE indices, read the money pages of newspapers, watch a few mutual fund shows, but take the necessary first step.
Wonderful. Well, I'm sure today's podcast has been extremely insightful for all of you who listen. It's definitely given me some insights to go back and plan a few things better for my daughter. And now I'm going to take our listeners through some key points listed by Nisreen Mamaji. This is our Wisdom in the Bank segment. Hope you find them useful and you'll definitely implement them while planning a secure future for your child. Ask grandparents, friends or relatives to gift your child cash and not gifts in boxes or presents. Bank this money, do not splurge. Don't spend all your investable surplus on the education of the child today, but start preparing for college and postgrad when your child is born. Integrate child plans into overall financial plans for you and the family. Start a relationship with a trusted distributor, just as you would with a family doctor or lawyer. This person will be very important to your financial health. Happy investing. Nisreen, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was an absolute pleasure. Lots of parents must have benefited with that advice you gave. And I'm positive they would start working towards securing their child's future.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to meet you. And it was lovely being on the show. Thank you.
Well, yes, you can make sure your child's future is secure even when you're not around if you plan early. Take into account the requirement, keeping not just the school fees in mind, but also other kinds of expenses that come with education and growth. Plan your will, ensure their future. Also, make sure you teach your kids about money as early as you can. It'll help them value and utilize it in a much better way. Just like our personal finance decisions evolve from the learnings we've gone through during our growing years, help your child go through the same journey as well. Remember the piggy bank? It was one of the first things that inculcated a behavior of savings. And the same can teach your child to achieve their goals with a limited earning as well. And that's a wrap on our show, NSE Presents InvestorCast. I'm your host, Rishi K, for the NSE Presents InvestorCast, an exclusive investor podcast powered by Money Control. To know more about our podcast, log on to moneycontrol.com, www.moneycontrol.com, and visit the podcast section. In case you'd like us to address any of your investment queries on the show, do write into us at nseinvestorcast@nw18.com, nseinvestorcast@nw18.com. You can also reach out to us on Twitter at moneycontrol.com or Facebook moneycontrol.com. Do remember to use the hashtag NSEInvestorCast. That's hashtag NSEInvestorCast. Thank you for listening. Disclaimer: the material on this show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any financial decision.